Blog Talk Radio.
Former slave and founder of the Women's Missionary Society of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, Sarah Allen, changed the world as an earlier organizer of Black Women of the Church. We'll talk to you today and take you back to the early 1800s in Philadelphia, where women's work empowered people to worldwide outreach. And then we'll interview some remarkable students from New Delhi, India, who attended the recent 57th session of the Harvard National Model United Nations Conference with over 3,000 students from around the world discussing global issues facing us all. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and we thank you for listening to Focus on Empowerment. Welcome to my listeners. I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We missed you last week. I was working in Washington, D.C. with Treasury Executive Institute talking about multi-generational issues, and the workplace had a great turnout and a wonderful group of senior executives who work for various federal agencies. And then I bounced on down to Atlanta to be with the Ebony speakers, my friend Nancy Lewis, who put on a wonderful women's entrepreneurial conference in the heart of downtown Atlanta, along with Michelle Portia from Connecticut and Deborah Gould of New Orleans, and wonderful, powerful corporate and business executive women in Atlanta. We had a great time, so I enjoyed being on the road. I certainly enjoyed missing my friends on the radio, but we have a great show in store for you today. Want to spend a little bit of time first talking to you about Women's History Month, giving you some history, and then I'm going to share with you a remarkable conference that was held back in February. I had an opportunity to meet a young man just in the hallway in the Park Plaza Hotel who was attending this conference, along with a sea of just young people everywhere, students from all over the world, about 39 different countries represented, all taking part in a simulation where they actually presented themselves as representatives in the United Nations. It's a really incredible experience. I was not aware of that conference, and I thought it was really noteworthy because of all the events taking place around the globe and would give you an opportunity to learn firsthand about that experience. But before we do that, and we're going to be talking about Women's History Month the entire month, just want to share with you a little bit of background and history about where this whole idea came from. National Women's History Month really dates back to March 8th of 1857, when women from New York City's factories staged a protest over working conditions. We just had protests in Wisconsin last night. Interesting how some things change and some things don't. International Women's Day was first observed in 1909, but it wasn't until 1981 that Congress established the National Women's History Week to be commemorated the second week in March. In 1987, Congress expanded the week to a month, and every year since, Congress has passed a resolution for Women's History Month, and the President has issued a proclamation. Now, 2 days ago was International Women's History Day, and that is a day annually on March 8th. Thousands of events are held throughout the world to inspire women and celebrate their achievements. A global web of rich and diverse local activities connect women from around the world, ranging from political rallies to business conferences to government activities and networking events through the local women's crafts, markets, theaters, performances, fashion parades, and more. A lot can be said about March and how important March is. During the early part of the 20th century, when women's suffragette was in rare form, they were trying to get the right to vote. In March, there was a huge, very important, and very significant women's suffragette march in Washington, D.C. and I am part of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, a public service sorority, principally with African-American college-educated women. Our organization was formed in January of 1913, and 2 months later, in March, that's probably why March is really celebrated for a women's perspective, we were marching in that rally and in that parade in Washington, D.C., way back in 1913. So there are lots of historical components with this. What I'm going to do now is to just keep you in suspense because I want to talk about Sarah Allen at the very end of our show, but I want to play this interview right now that I actually conducted yesterday, featuring Chinmay Regal and Vinny Malik, who are two students. Chinmay is a gentleman, Vinny is a woman, and we'll talk more later on about women, but I want to talk about these young students and this wonderful conference they attended just a few weeks ago. I'm really delighted. Through the marvels of technology, I had a chance to meet one of these young, bright students a few weeks ago, and now we have coordinated our schedules, and we're on the air, not live, but pre-recorded, talking to wonderful students who represent the School of Engineering from ITM University in Gurgaon, that's outside of New Delhi in India. So welcome to the program, Vinny Malik, and also Chinmay Regal. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you.
So glad to meet you. I believe everything is done for a reason, and I was so curious about the young people, 3,000 of them, assembling in the lobbies of the Park Plaza Hotel in Boston around the middle of February. Got curious enough that I wanted to see the program, and so I borrowed Chinmay's program as he was sitting up after I guess he had gotten registered, and then learned that they were part of the delegation that is held every year. This was the 57th session of the Harvard National Model United Nations Conference. So, Chinmay, tell me more about the conference and why we're a part of it.
You want to know about the conference of Harvard or MUNs in general?
Well, I'll talk about your university in a minute, so let's talk first about the conference that you were participating in Boston.
Okay, it was an international Model United Nations conference, which had students from all over the world, so that got us a great amount of exposure, a tremendous amount of exposure. We got to interact with people, with students, with brilliant students, actually, from all over the world, including some students from our country as well, which is India. And United Nations is a simulation of United Nations, the actual United Nations that takes place in the headquarters. So we use the proper diplomacy, we use technical terms, we create documents the way they are created in United Nations, and we represent the country, and we actually live into the character of ambassadors and country representatives so that we can do it in a very, very genuine manner.
So this is a live simulation, not a computerized one, with live people and live issues. And what I'm hearing is that you had to take on the experience, the background, and the issues of an organization and a country other than your own. Benny, is that correct?
Yeah, totally correct. It's definitely an academic simulation. We have different students from different universities. We have both the things. We are getting the global exposure, plus we all are actually forming the simulation to work over a global agenda that actually needs to be discussed by the youth of today.
And there are so many issues regarding that. So tell us about the particular issues, the organization, and the country that you took on with this project, Chinmay.
Come again, please?
Yeah, tell me more about your project, your issues that you participated in at the conference, but you and Vinny.
Okay. I participated. I had two agendas in the committee I was allotted, and the agendas were the humanitarian situation in the Gaza.
So the humanitarian
situation.
Let me just stop you. So you were talking about the humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip.
That's right. And the other agenda was international organized crime. So we were two delegates in each committee, and I had prepared on international organized crime. So that tells us about how mafias work, how drug traffickers, human traffickers work all over the world with a network of their own, which the FBI and all other international policing bodies like Interpol, etc., and individual countries, police organizations, and, you know, law enforcement organizations are working on foiling their plans and getting things right around the world.
That's very interesting and pretty dangerous, too, when you're talking about organized crime, whether it's in Russia or parts of Mexico or certainly here in the United States or in India. I want to
yes.
step back and ask you, Benny, how were you selected? How did this project come to your school? How were you and Chinmay and your other students who attended, how were you selected for this wonderful occasion?
We have been actually taking part in different events that take place in India also. While we were in school, we used to have school events. So it is sheer interest that we are actually interested in the MN conferences. Then for Harvard Model United Nations Conference, they have an application, online application on their website, that is hnmn.org. All the university students who are at the university level can apply to those conferences. Even the first timers can get an opportunity to be selected and take part in such conferences. We had a delegation of around 8 students from our university. Mm-hmm. So we all applied together for a particular delegation at HNMN. Then after the selection procedure was over, we were informed about what country we were allotted and what all committees were given to us. So it was a simple online application that we needed to follow.
Well, I bet that was a pretty exciting moment, knowing that there were probably thousands of students who wanted to apply, didn't get in, and your 8 students from your delegation actually made the cut. How did you feel when you found out that you were coming to Boston?
HNMN is actually a very large conference. They have so many committees. So possibly whenever the universities are actually applying, the one with experience are actually selected. So we really didn't have to do much to it.
So you were pre-selected.
Yeah. No, not actually, but yes.
Ah,
we had
experience
for that. Yeah.
So anywhere, in other words, did you do some preparation, Chinmay, for your application before you actually put it in, or did you just by chance say, I'm going to give this a shot and see what happens?
I'm not able to hear you properly. Can you please come again?
Certainly. And for our listeners, we are talking to Chinmay Rigo and Vinny Malik. They are calling in live from outside of New Delhi, India. And so we have a little bit of a communication glitch just because we're talking thousands of miles apart. So I wanted to ask Chinmay again just about the process that where your school was identified as one of the winners to bring your whole delegation to Boston. How was that experience for you?
That experience was fantastic. It was initially thrilling that we are getting the opportunity to attend a conference which is being organized by one of the most prestigious universities in the world. Plus, again, it was a Model United Nations conference, and Model United Nations, the concept in itself is fascinating. It's fascinating to a very large extent, especially for people like us. We although are engineering students, and there is nothing to do between with engineering, but still, I mean, it was a nice experience. It tells us a lot of things, how the world functions, how international relations happen, how things are conducted. And we network a lot. This is networking that happens during conferences, especially when it was an international conference. We had free intuitions in our mind. that we'll be able to network with a lot of new people from all over the world, which actually happened and which I'm sure will be to a great will work to a great advantage for us throughout our lives.
Well, not only did you network with your students, you've now networked with me, too. And because this interview is going to be broadcast to those of my listeners in the United States, and then I do have listeners around the world, and people can blog talk.radio. They can blog talk, or they can actually download this program that airs on Blog Talk Radio. It will be hopefully a way for you to connect even farther than the individuals that you met in Boston. So I want you to tell us just a little bit about the flow of the conference. Did you present one time? Did you present twice? Were there rehearsals? Were there prizes given away? Give us a sense, and again, for our listeners, your topics were international organized crime and the Gaza Strip, and I would imagine you were probably looking at it from the Palestinians' point of view. Is that right, Vinny?
Yeah, I had a different committee. I had World Health Organization. So the topic under my discussion was what over natural disasters. But while we started with the conference, we had social conferences as a separate separate timing hour. Other than that, we had the opening ceremony where all the university students were actually being where we actually met formally. Then after the opening ceremony, we had a different committee sessions. We had committee sessions of different hours that ranged from around 2 to 3 hours every time. So starting from day one till the end, we had different committee sessions where we worked over. We worked over a topic. During committee sessions, we have different country ambassadors. So they have their point of views to speak over their own topic. After that, as soon as the committee proceeds, we draft a resolution paper over which we pen down the solutions to the given problem. After the resolution papers were over, we had two topics to be discussed, so we had two resolution paper by the end. Then after the conference was over, then.
Benny, I'm sorry, we just lost the connection. Tell us again, I wanted to ask you, you talked on national disasters, and what was your other topic?
We had natural disasters and drug control.
Drug control, okay. So you had
plate
of activities and then ultimately created a position paper. And were those positions?
Yeah, we created a resolution paper. Position paper is submitted before we come and take part in the committee where we actually get into this discussion. After discussion, we draft a resolution paper.
I see.
Okay. Can I get into the discussion?
Yes, certainly, Chinmay. Yes.
The position paper submitted about a week or sometimes a month ago, a month before the conference starts, and that
actually tells the position of a country on that
question. That's our position. In our case, it was Organization of Islamic Conference we were representing. So it was organized. It was this organization's position about the agendas. There are separate position papers for separate agendas in separate committees, and then those position papers are evaluated by the Secretary General or whatever is the working committee in the MUN. And then we have a debate on the agenda, which takes a turn. We form blocks, blocks are groups of countries who share opinions about the agenda. Mm-hmm. Those blocks give a resolution, which is the set of proposed solutions to those problems or issues which are being discussed in committee. Those resolutions are voted upon in the committee, and then by simple majority vote or by two-thirds majority, there are different rules of voting in different topics and different steps in the flow of debate. So by that majority, whatever it is, that the resolution is passed, and then it is decided upon. Then after the first resolution is passed, then only we move on to the second agenda. It happens a lot of time, and it happened this time, that we run out of time that and we're not able to discuss the second agenda. The first agenda eats up all the days.
I see. Got it. So you've got, and I'm sure they're going to probably roll some of those agenda items and topics that you didn't have a chance to discuss. That probably will be discussed next year at the 58th session. In closing, this, and again, we could talk more and more about this. So we look at the world events that are happening that the United Nations are struggling with and wrestling with right now, including Libya and a no-fly zone, whether they're going to take that on as the body of the United Nations. So, again, you set the stage, and I'm sure that your ideas and discussion points were taken note by those United Nations delegates who actually attended your conference. Tell us very quickly about your school, Vinnie, about ITM University.
ITM University is situated in Gurgaon, that is nearby Delhi, and it teaches both the engineering courses and management courses. So we have engineering that includes the BTech and MTech courses, and under management we have MBA and law. So it basically covers both these areas, and it is one of the best universities. One of the best universities in North India, and it is actually holding a good position in all over India. So, yeah, this is it. ITM University it is.
Excellent, excellent. And Chinmay, why did you choose ITM University, and where are you from? Are you from New Delhi or from another part of India?
I am from New Delhi. I am a resident of New Delhi, born and brought up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose ITM University because I said, first, the infrastructure in this university is amazing. And then we have good student-teacher relations, and the whole thing is set up in a very good manner. Our university has tie-ups with Nanyang Technical University in Singapore, and our university has tie-ups with London Business School, London School of Economics. So
the faculty is just amazing. We have so much practical approach here. Not just theory is being covered in our college, in our university. It's just amazing.
The teaching method, which is more practical oriented, is unconventional in Indian universities. It is very conventional to teach in a very practical method in the United States or a lot of other countries, but in India, the approach in most universities and schools of education is very theoretical. So that I personally feel that is not the right way to do it.
I see.
And then that we had credential. Yeah.
That sounds like a very exciting program that you're a part of. Benny, are you also from New Delhi, or are you from another part of India?
No, I'm from Gurgaon only, but we have students in our university who are actually from all over India.
Yeah.
It is actually a renowned university in India, and we have a lot more students coming up every year to engage into different courses of the university.
That's wonderful. Well, I want to thank both of you, Vinnie Malik, who is a junior engineering majoring in engineering in computer science, and also Chinmay Rigal, who's a sophomore, engineering in information technology. They're part of the School of Engineering for ITM University in Gurgaon, right outside of New Delhi. Thank you both for being a guest on my program, and we want to have you back on again. So I say thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. It was actually taped yesterday, so it's fairly fresh. I've been chatting back and forth with friends in the chat room. Dr. Rhonda Waters is back there giving me some great ideas, and we definitely want to have more interviews because of the wonders of Blog Talk. You can do this kind of amazing work and air these kind of interviews and talk to people literally around the planet. So that's what we want to do, just to give you a sense of what's taking place. These young students, just it's amazing what they're doing and how exciting it is for them to travel and to engage in the kind of dialogue and the kind of conferencing that they had back in February with Harvard. So hope you enjoyed that, and definitely share this interview and share this program with particularly younger friends of yours, colleagues, students, et cetera, so they can see what is taking place in towns like Gurgaon right outside of New Delhi with Shinmei and Vinny. We thank them for being guests on our program. Well, we're going to switch back and talk about Sarah Allen, who is my shero. Yes, I'm a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, but I wanted to bring her on in particular and highlight her during Women's History Month as we pay tribute throughout the month because of the international nature of the Women's Missionary Society. Here I just had young people from India talking about their experience with the conference and here in the United States. And right now, the AME Church currently has over 40 churches, fairly new churches, that are a part of our connectional body. And there will be a very strong missionary presence with the AME churches in India, in part because of Sarah Allen. She was the second wife of Bishop Richard Allen, who was the co-founder of the AME Church, born into slavery in 1764 in the Isle of Wight in Virginia. However, we have records showing that by 1802, she was a free woman. She apparently was a widow and then subsequently married Bishop Allen. They actually had six children. And there is a wonderful documentary about his life and her life. You can go to motherbethel.org, motherbethel, B-E-T-H-E-L.org, and there's a great 23-minute documentary on their life that was just debuted last month and produced, underwritten by one of the athletes I think he's a New York Jet, and it's a PBS-like documentary. It's just marvelous, and so they talk about her life as well. She was quite remarkable. She married him. They had six children, and she worked tirelessly. We used to say it as a helpmate, but she was more than a helpmate. She was a partner with the very new church that he had helped to co-found, and you can imagine what the struggles were like during that time, the lack of money, the fact that you've got to make ends meet. You don't have insurance, 501 or 401k plans, insurances, didn't have any of that stuff. They had a lot of faith. And ultimately, the blacksmith shop that was purchased and converted into the church, which is now known as Mother Bethel, that's the principal church of the AME Connection, and other churches joined with Mother Bethel, and they held their first conference in 1817. Well, during that first annual conference, Mrs. Allen began to recognize she just really became a figure in her own right. The preachers of the conference, they had traveled everywhere, tirelessly through the Midwest and parts of the western part of the United States during that time, doing their evangelical work, and they returned, and they were pretty scrubby. They were pretty dirty and pretty scrubby. And her husband was not going to allow them entry into their home and to do the work of ministry. So she whipped her ladies into shape. They ultimately were called the Dorcas Society, and they got their clothes together. They got the clothes together for those gentlemen who were on their evangelical trail. And in 1827, this group became known as the Daughters of the Conference. And when the society began to help needy outside of the clergy, it became known as the Women's Missionary Society. It's a very, very strong organization. I'm a part of WMS, connectionally so. It's in all parts of the world and is a major force in the AME structure. The other thing is that Mrs. Allen, Sarah Allen, persuaded her husband to include both Bethel and their own personal home as stops on the Underground Railroad. Imagine the risk that they took. She became known for her courage as a conductor of the Underground Railroad. And both Sarah Allen and Richard Allen at Mother Bethel Church in Philadelphia. I would encourage everyone, when you're in the Philadelphia area, to stop by Mother Bethel Church. You can learn more about her. But again, an idea that was planted and seeded, and because of faith and courage, literally expanded to an entire 8 million strong connectional church that spans many, many countries and certainly many continents. That is your Women's History Month lesson for today. We'll have more for you next week. Hope you enjoyed this show. Have a great week or weekend, and we'll see you next week. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Have a great, great day.